Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caleb Pettis of Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, and this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. And I am just honored, just so happy, elated, I guess would be a good word to say, to have this woman on, because she has just, ever since I've seen her compete for the first time, as a new amateur, coming back from a layoff from being a pro and then basically taking time for family. But she just has just been blowing up and just blowing up in everything. And the one thing that she has, I can say personally, because like I said, I know her, is that she has been focused and committed. I mean, this is something that we had talked about a long time ago, just enjoying the growth of the natural competitions, but also the fact that it was growing in a spot where competition was just getting so good and so well that, you know, it really was a competition where it wasn't just one person competing or and then, you know, everybody else showing up or two people that were known. But now there's, like, I mean, we have name brand competition, and that's what she and I had both been talking about, where we would welcome it, and we're actually hungry for it because we knew that's what the industry needed to grow. And so I'll introduce MJ. MJ, say hi to everybody and introduce yourself to the people that might not know you. If they don't, gee, God bless them. But anyway, say hi.
Hi, everybody. It's MJ, otherwise known as Melissa Johnson. For those of you who don't know, I'm Melissa Johnson. I am a EFAC, NGA, WNBF, IFPA, and ANBF pro figure and physique competitor.
Yes, indeed. And you've been really pushing your butt and you have to be one of the most self-critical without being self-destructive critical people I know, to where you say this has got to get better and this has got to get better. And I, you know, in order for the sport to get better, because you know the competition is stepping up, so you're not slacking on it and thinking, well, because of my name or reputation, I should win.
That's right. I believe that in order to succeed in life, you have to be your toughest critic. And you have to be the one to push yourself to get better, because no one else is going to do it for you.
Oh, my goodness. I got to write that down. I got to write that down. But there's something else that because it's like in the enhanced realm, I think they think the gear is what drives the people and gets them over. And in the natural side, they figure, oh, you were just born with genetics, and so that's your gift, and you're just going to step on stage and win. And the one thing that you and I have always spoken about is the fact that there's so many things. I don't think anybody can ever say one prep was exactly the same as the next prep or the next competition. It's always different. There's always something. And, you know, hit or miss, you still got to get through it somehow, some way.
Very true. It is something that I'm dealing with right now, or I dealt with for this prep for my first show. I only took about a 6 to 8 week off season from winning my first world title. And my body changed a lot in that time. And then to prep my body for this year, this first show that I had to do, you know, things were totally different than they were for the last 7 months of the year of 2015. So, you know, I think your body is constantly changing and adapting to things, and so you always gotta change it up and keep it fresh and be on your game when it comes to that stuff. You gotta be able to pick up on those cues that your body's giving you and pay attention to all the signs.
Oh, I'm glad you said it, and it's a good segue into the three questions that I was given for you, because you did something like you just said that just, you know, basically blows the back end off of some of the theories that people have or come up with basically limiting themselves. you basically bookended the year, ending the year and starting the year, your year, where you were, you know, ready to compete and not, like, ready to just step on stage, but actually ready to win. And, you know, it's always, well, it can't be done because, you know, a lot of people are still holding on to the old ways and old values, but, you know, you're one of the pioneers that's basically not guinea pigging other people to see if it works. You're seeing what works for you and then, you know, basically designing things to fit others' lives and lifestyle, because that takes an awful lot. And I don't want to, you know, forego the part that you're also a coach, a mom, and, you know, you've got, like, so many hats that you wear. Every prep compensates, I mean, basically endorses everything that you have and a competition life for yourself. That's not easy.
It's not. It takes a lot of juggling, and you know, it took me, this will be my fourth year in business as a coach. It's taken me this long to get very, very comfortable with time management is key for me,
mm-hmm.
especially since I do have, you know, I am a single mom, so I have a five-year-old son. With him being in school now, it's a lot easier because I do get,
mm-hmm.
You know, the majority of my day to plan things out. But basically, I have the whole week planned out way ahead of time. You know, I still prep my food. I still have everything, all my macros planned out. You know, I mean, I believe that's one of the keys to success in life is to really think ahead of the game in anything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just plan everything out, and there's no excuses for me. There's no, I'm too busy. You know, I'm busy just like everybody else. Yeah, I get the luxury of working out in the middle of the day instead of at night or early in the morning when other people do, but I still put in my time. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a slacker. So it's just one of those things where you don't have to tell me about slacking.
and you are very well ahead of it. And one of the things that you've been doing, and I know that a lot more people are like you're saying, are becoming more open about this, is that you're not hiding from anything. You're open about your workouts. You're open about, you know, busting your butt. You're open about the things that you are basically trying for the first time. And you know, you're not afraid to say, hey, sometimes that didn't work. And we need more of that, because I think, like I said, the old guard was basically, you know, suffer, almost die, and hate prep as much as possible, post how much you hate much, all the post-prep is as much as possible. Pre-prep, you're dying, you hate it. And basically, I think that's what shut the door on a lot of avenues for the growth of the natural industry, because it sounded like torture to me. I don't know about how you looked at it, but I was like, well, if that's a sport, I really don't want to get into it because it sounds like death.
Right, and then you got to think about it too, is if it sucks so bad, why are you doing it? You know,
yes.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that hard. There are sacrifices. If you want to be the best, there are a lot of sacrifices that you have to make. But you
mm-hmm.
don't have to be dead. You don't have to be a walking zombie. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
part of the reason that people get like that is they, A, gain too much weight off season. B, they
mm-hmm.
take too long or they take too short of a prep. And everybody used to hear these 12-week prep time frames. That's not the ideal amount of time anymore. It's longer, slower preps. It's so much better for your body. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just staying in shape as much as you can all year round. Don't use off-season as a chance to gain 50 pounds and then wonder why you can't get in shape.
Yes.
So it's just a lot of people, you know, see all that negative stuff on social media and it scares them away. And being a natural competitor, yeah, you got to work harder than the people
mm-hmm.
that aren't natural. But to me, there's no other way.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, there's things that people say that where it basically sets up, like you said, that room to fail. And it takes away from all the love, the joy, and the sacrifices that you're doing. And one of them, you know, like you said, you're a single mother, So, you know, that takes time. Then you have the time you have to set aside for yourself so you can stay in shape. And then you have to plan for others. So this is not a cakewalk. And if people are saying just genetics wins, then when would you have time to basically address those genetics to where it would actually be a success? Because I'm not seeing it. Everything I've seen you do has been really hard work.
That's true, yeah. Hard work and consistency, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you got to just put in the time. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years. Yeah, I've had my time
mm-hmm.
here and there that I've taken off, but I've seen the most improvements in my physique over these last 4 years, which has been when I've been the most consistent. And,
yes.
You know, my body does respond well because this is my life. You know, it's always been my life. It's like I tell people I grew up with fitness. It's been a staple in my life. It's something that I've always done. So to not do it is when I feel off, you know, to take a vacation or to, you know, spend some time outside of the gym or be off of my diet. That's not how I am. You know, it's just a part of my life. So I'm not
mm-hmm.
hardcore. I'm not this crazy person who lives and eats and breathes and dies by macros. It's just everyday life for me.
Yes.
You know, and so
and
it does make it a little bit easier for me in that aspect, but, you know, it's not, I don't ever think of it as a sacrifice.
Yeah, but
it's
I mean,
the way
but
of
like,
life.
You know, that's what basically puts you at the top of the level. And the other thing was, the other question I was given was, how do you, like you said, and not only just stay in shape, but keep the mindset for the duration where you can bookend the end of the year as a champion and then start the new season, you know, winning the big time and some best body parts. I mean, let's get on that. My goodness.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, my mindset, you know, I mean, I struggle like everybody else. There are times where I get, you know, kind of in a rut or I don't feel like my body's responding like it should or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I get frustrated just like everybody else. But I've learned over time that if you just stick to your plan and stick to the things that you are supposed to be doing, your body will eventually give in and give up. Your body is a very smart, very, very smart, and it will do anything and everything it can to fight you sometimes. And sometimes all you have to do is just push it enough to where it doesn't have a choice. And so
mm-hmm.
that's, but you know, I mean, I just wake up every day and I'm thankful for being alive and for all these gifts that God has given me. I, you know, not very many people get to do their passion as their career. And so
oh, yeah, good point.
I've just really kind of taken every day and just really thank God for all the blessings that I've received. And I think that, you know, I read a lot of positive things and just realize that, you know, even when I have a bad day, it could be a lot worse. You know, so I just
mm-hmm.
always try to put the positive spin on things. I don't know. I'm just a very positive person. I know. I try to find the positive in everything that comes, and I really see it as if it's not a positive thing, it's more of a lesson for myself. So I actually say, bring it on, you know, and I see the challenges, and I actually love it.
And, like you said, you know, you're basically seeing that this is something you can't really step away from and still keep that successful mindset. And when I say step away from, like you said, you have a life you do outside of this sport, but the sport is something that is a part of you because, you know, you're so into health and fitness. I can really see where you're going with that. Like, it's like, well, why would I step away from it if it's something I love to do? And I agree with that wholeheartedly. But there was something else that that comes up when people are – because, you know, I'm trying to dispel the excuses and the myths of why you can't, you know, be consistent, like you're saying, in this sport. Because basically it's part of health and fitness, which is what your body needs anyway. And when you're saying that you're dealing with other people's you know, you have clients. This is like you said, this is your job as well, and you're helping them reach their goals. So that's another thing that basically challenges the mind as well as the body, because, you know, you still, even if you're working out, you're still getting people contacting you for certain things and needing to be addressed because their lives are important to you as well. So could you speak on that too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Basically, all my clients have my phone number, and I tell them to contact me at any time. Basically, I tell them text is best, just because I can see it and respond. The only time that I am delayed in my response to my clients is either if I'm with a client or if I am physically training myself. I don't tell them not to contact me. I just tell them it might be a little bit longer when I'll answer them in between sets or something. But it's never a bother to me. Sometimes I'll address the situation in the middle of my workout, you know, in between sets, but somebody's having a crisis. You know, I mean, I've been there before. 9 times out of 10, when my clients have experienced something, I've experienced it myself. So I can find ways to overcome it and to deal with it and to help them, you know, find ways to kind of get over that hump or address the situation. And so I know what it's like when you need somebody, and so I try to be there for them as much as I can.
And also something that like you said, and I'm very proud that you say this, and I'm very comfortable that I'm very happy that you can be comfortable in saying this. It's like you said, you've been through these things, and you've reached out to people that you've you know, looked up to. So this is not something that, you know, people should be ashamed of or fear. This is something that's almost necessary to keep your sanity.
Yes, definitely. I believe that you have to go through struggles in life to get past those struggles and to become a stronger person and to grow and to change. So for people that say, oh, why do all these bad things always happen to me? And it's not that God picked you out to deal with all these horrible things and you're never going to get ahead. It's just the necessary steps that you have to take in life in order to get past that and appreciate everything that you have. And, you know, the good times are going to outweigh the bad times. But the struggles are necessary in life in order to get ahead and to get what you really want. And a lot of people let them set them back. And that's not what it's meant for. You just have to believe in yourself that you can get past it and just have that positive mindset.
I love that way of thinking. I mean, my goodness, I couldn't have said it better. And you, like I said, you do reach out. And the thing, like, I just enjoy is that you said, you know, I will get through this. I don't know how, I don't know what, sometimes I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'll get through it. And I just enjoy that about you, especially, you know, with the things that are happening now, because it was tough, you know, going through the ranks and improving. And then when you finally reach that pinnacle and you can enjoy that fruit, you can look back and see, man, it was more than worth it, because that's basically where that created that hunger, because you never said, I'm not good enough. You're saying, what's it going to take to be good enough? You know, because you stepped on the big stages. I mean, just inform the listeners, please, of the big stages you've had the chance to enjoy stepping on stage for.
Okay, I've competed 3 years in a row at the ISPA Pro International, which is pretty much bigger than Yorton in the ISPA, where all the top of the pros compete. Terry McPhee's been on that stage quite a few times.
Yes.
Stephanie Casella, Kristen Flannery, Charmaine Williams. I've competed against all those ladies, and I've placed top 4 or better in the 3 years that I did it. And that's a pretty big accomplishment, I think, for myself.
That's a big show.
Yeah, it's a great show. It really is. If you wanna see where you stand in the ISPA, you do that show, because that's where you will know whether or not you're at the top, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah.
100% agree, yes.
And then also 2 years in a row, 2014 and 2015, I did the BFAC World Finals in Miami. I competed in the Pro Athletic there. I placed second, and then I placed third last year. Incredible experience. BFAC is a great organization. I do enjoy competing with them. And then I did the NGA World last year, the Pro Universe. That was my first time ever competing in the NGA. And I placed fourth there, so I'm fourth best in the world in the NGA. And then I finished off my season last year with the ANBF, and I won my world title, my first world title there. I'm getting goosebumps now just talking about it. I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it just because it's my dream come true. I mean, that was my biggest goal for myself, was to win a world title. And I won. And that show was actually on a whim. I thought I was done for the season after the NGA Pro Universe. And I decided that I still had more in me. And I still had that fire burning. And I had one more shot to do it. And I traveled down to Key West in December and won my world title in Pro Figure.
And you really good doing it. And, you know, the one thing that I've always been proud of you about is that you're not scared. You were never been afraid to step on somebody's home turf and compete with them.
No, not at all.
Because I'm going to premise this because I think people might not understand what I'm talking about, but I know you do. And that's basically where you travel to compete and basically are going up against the home team, I guess the best way to say it. And, you know, a lot of people might not be willing to admit back in the day, but there was some, what's a good word to say it without being too politically biased, where was some home cooking because they wanted the people to keep coming back and the families and the locals and whatever because they didn't think big enough to understand that, you know, the natural community was going to grow eventually. So they basically said, then we'll, you know, keep as much in-house as we can. Basically, just keep having a show, I guess, the best way to say it. And you would still step on stage and compete against competitors knowing sometimes this was basically going to be the outcome. And it didn't matter to you. You were still going to go there and you were still going to try to win. So, you know, now that you can do these things with the aspect of actually winning, I mean, that's got to be, like, the best feeling in the world.
It is. It is. I think the politics isn't as bad as it used to be. It seems to be getting a little bit better because I think it's a lot to do with athletes speaking out. You know, a lot of people are getting tired of it, and it's, you know, people that really do deserve to win are getting second and third, and it didn't. Everybody else was starting to notice it. So once people started kind of voicing it, and things have started to change a little bit. But, you know, the criteria is being followed a little bit better, and judging is a little bit more fair and unbiased.
And honestly, it had to happen in order for this sport to grow because it was stagnating, you know, because at the time, people just didn't want to travel because they were saying, what's the point if I've already lost before I set foot on stage? And like you said, there were some great-looking physiques, and not just backstage, because you and I have both seen that, where somebody was phenomenal backstage and just blowing everybody out the water, but then they get on stage and the posing or something else just wasn't there, and it never showed up like it did backstage. So, you know, I hope people don't think we're referring to that when we're talking about what we're saying. It's basically being the best person, period, and still not winning. But you still did it. And now, like I said, you finished the year off, and you won. And I was happy for you. And, I think I almost cried myself. But anyway, this time you win and you start getting best body parts. Cause, I mean, like, you've been really key on certain – you basically worked really hard to take your weaknesses to your strengths. I want to say that ahead of time. But then not only did they become your strengths, they became, like, best body part awards. Now, how did that feel? You know, like I said, you're going to different places, and now you're not only winning, but you're winning best body parts too.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. My back has always been something that I've enjoyed training, but I felt like it was something that I needed to bring up over the last off season because you can't shrink your waist any more than it already is. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. So I naturally have a slightly blocky waist because of starting out in bodybuilding. So in order to make that illusion look better, I have to build my back up. And so in 2014 into 2015 is when I took that longer off season for about 6 months and really, really focused on bringing up my back. And apparently it won me an award this past show because I won best back. So it was pretty awesome.
And, you know, not just like I said, these are the things that make champions. Because, like I said, you've just not been that person that's going to be content with the win. Because you're always saying, I can do better here, and I can do better here. And some people hear it and say, you know, my God, you know, but you're winning. But it's like, okay, I'm winning, but I know the best me, and I ain't seen her yet. And that's basically what makes that next level kind of competitor.
Yeah, I had a guy that works at my gym. He's a janitor at my gym, and he said, he goes, you're doing another show this year, right? And I said, or you're going to compete this year? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm doing 12 shows. And he said, 12? And his eyes about popped out of his head. And he goes, don't you ever get tired of this? Don't you ever get tired of competing and winning and being the best? And I said, I'm not the best. I'm not even close to being the best. I said, I love this. It's not about winning. It's not about being first. It's about being better than I was the last show. I said, I'm not out to beat mm-hmm. all these girls and be, you know. I said, I'm just doing it because I love it. You know, he's like, well, all right then. I guess that's a good answer. And I, you know, it's like, because I guess you must hear so many people say, I just want to win. I just want to win,
yeah.
You know. And I'm like, yeah, winning's awesome, but I haven't won enough to know how great it really is and if I'm ever going to get tired of it, you know. I mean, I've only mm-hmm. had two pro wins. I mean, so I've competed in over 16, this is my 17th show I just did. And so I've only had two pro wins. You know, it's not like I'm this girl who's just knocking them out the park, you know. I'm just doing me and loving it. That's all. There's no competition about it, you know. I'm just, I don't know. I can't really explain it. I just want to be better than I was the last show.
You actually did explain it one time. In such an elegant way, and it was basically saying, you know, I don't know what's out there. And when I heard you breaking it down to this lady where she could understand winning, because, like, you were talking on a whole different level that I don't even think she caught up to what you were saying when you were telling her about how you were trying to learn your body. And she was talking about, do you think you're going to win here? And you'd already known, you know, I screwed up in this spot, in my macros, in my diet, and I came in not with the look that I wanted. So you already knew I'm not happy with how I came about this. And she was like, but do you still think you're going to win? And you're like, no, you're not even hearing me. And I thought that was so funny because, like, you were just so precise and I'm learning my body and this is what's important. And if I can do that, that's my win. And she was still looking at the trophy and the show. And I was like, wow, this is some crazy stuff right here because it's like I'm waiting for her to, like, have that light cut on in her head to where she can understand exactly where you were coming from because she was still looking at the show and the venue and you're looking at your body and your prep. That's not even in the same atmosphere.
Yeah, that's how I work. It's just about, it's me versus me.
Yes.
And that's, you
but
know.
I was living witness to that, so can't nobody say, you know, I thought I heard or whatever. I was there when it was said. I'm just looking, I think my jaw hit the floor because I said, this is another level right here because she just, goodness. Okay. But go ahead and finish.
That's just, you know, that's how, if I mess something up somehow and, you know, don't get to be my best on stage, then it's going to eat me alive, you know, and it's happened to me quite a few times. Would it have determined my placing any differently? Who knows, you know? But I still, it's so funny because last year I brought my best to the stage that anybody had seen, but it wasn't my best potential, which had made me strive to be better. So it's like I knew I looked my best that people had seen, but I wasn't to my full potential, and that's where I got when I got my world title in Key West. So that was when I was truly satisfied and completely happy, 100%.
Yes.
And so now I gotta beat her.
Exactly. Which is true, MJ. I mean, if anybody knows you, they know exactly what you're saying. And it's not, it's never for you. It's always the next, because you just don't get tired. Because I like your best explanation. This is who you are. So why would you be tired of being who you are? It's almost like somebody saying, well, don't you get tired of being Melissa Johnson? You know, really?
Mm-hmm.
You'd really ask me that? You know, this is the person I know. So what's next?
Next is this weekend, NGA, Heart of America. My first time doing this show, John Abraham's show. I've heard it's a great show. I'm really looking forward to it. It's really close for me. It's less than 3-hour drive, so that is always refreshing. So I don't have to get on a plane or anything. And so that is my next show. And then I will be taking 6 weeks off and doing another NGA show, the Women's Extravaganza in New Jersey. I'm doing 12 pro shows this year so far. And at least 4 world championships at the end of the year. I'm going to be trying a new federation called SMARTA. It is it is a physique competition coupled with like agility. So they have events. So they have a morning, and their morning prejudging is a bench weight for reps, as many reps as you can in 60 seconds, squats, same thing, ball slams, burpees, A-frames, renegade rows, things like that, all timed against your peers in your class and judge.
Oh, wow.
And then they have you come back at night for the stage presentation time. So I'm really looking forward to that because, as you know, I'm not only I don't only excel on competition day, but I train like an athlete.
Yes.
I don't just do straight sets. I don't do bodybuilding exercises. I train with extreme intensity. My cardio is track days. I incorporate a lot of plyometrics. So I'm in as great of condition as I look on stage. So this is kind of really up my alley, to where it's something where I can showcase both talents that I do, to where I am in shape and I don't just look in shape. So I'm pretty excited about that. So that's in August.
Wow, you got this year planned out. Yeah, I mean,
I do. I have it all planned out.
My goodness.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'm excited to try some new federations.
Yes. And there's something that you do that is I think it's very vital for any coach, is you get just as involved with your clients as you do your own prep?
Yes. Yes, I do. I actually am probably one of the only coaches around that still do set meal plans for people. I take on a lot of new clients, meaning new to the sport. So they've never competed before. They've always wanted to compete, but they don't know what to do. So I kind of take them from the average Joe and transform them into a competitor. And so I teach them everything that they need to know. I don't just say, here's your diet, here's your exercises, this is what you do, I'll see you in 2 weeks. I stay in contact with them as much as I can, as much as they need me, really. I let them dictate that. But if they ask questions, I tell them why. I teach them posing. I help them select their suits. And if it's a local show, I offer hair and makeup services. And I will offer tan if I don't have too many people competing in the same show. So I really try to be there for them for everything that they need, and to be that person that can help them and kind of guide them on their way and not just send them to the wolves. And that's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's so much information out there and so many people that know everything about everything and want to give you their 2 cents. And so to have somebody that you trust and that can help you is vital. And so I try to be there for them as much as I can.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something else that you and I have talked about. Is that's the, and I'm praying for the death of bro science, and it's not dying quick enough. But, you know, like you said, there are people that are still holding on to those old ways and thinking, you know, this is what works. And, you know, it's what you and I have seen basically destroy metabolism and ruin people's health and lives. And, you know, what as a coach, what would you tell the newbie what to look for in trying to choose a coach?
I tell people to, you know, ask as many questions as you can. Ask about their method of dieting, their style of dieting. And I get asked that a lot, and I can't give them an answer. And that's what you need to have, is someone that tells you, I can't tell you how I'm going to diet you because I don't know your body yet. I don't have a certain approach. We don't carb cycle all the time. I don't do keto. I don't do low fat. I do whatever works for your body. And another thing you need to know, if you're inexperienced in the gym and you don't have a lot of knowledge, you need a coach that's going to help you build your body and learn how to work out the way that you need to work out to get to your goals. You know, so many coaches do cookie cutter style diets, and these are all the Instagram coaches and, you know, all the social media people that did one show and now they're a coach. You know, I also believe that if you are going to compete and you're looking for a coach, you need a coach that competes. You need a coach that knows what has competed.
Yes.
You can't trust somebody with your body that doesn't know what it takes to get to that level. And you just also got to look for somebody that responds quickly. If it takes them 5-6 days to get back to an email requesting, when you request, you know, some information about their services, that's a pretty good indicator that they're either very busy or they don't care, and that's how they're going to treat you while you are their client. You know,
right,
and don't always
right
pick
on
the cheapest coach. Don't always pick the cheapest coach, because if you do, you're going to get what you pay for, you know. But you also don't want to pay crazy amounts of money for your first time, you know, as having a coach. You know, you just got to also talk to coaches' clients, their current clients, their past clients. Ask them what they think, get their feedback, because you're going to get some real and raw answers there. You know, just, you know, ask questions. That's the number one. Just ask as many questions as you can, because knowledge is power.
Yes, and it's very vital, because like the one thing you said, that, you know, really brought it into perspective for me was when you're talking about somebody's life. And, you know, we it's a competition, yes, but when you talk about somebody's life, if that doesn't scare you to want them to be picture perfect, I don't know what to say. I'd really question somebody that basically my health is sideshow. And, that was the thing that horrified us both. Or not just us. There's so many. There's so many that are just mortified by the fact that, you know, people just would risk someone's health just for a couple of dollars. And I know you were very outspoken way back when, so I really don't have to worry about where you're coming from, because this is something, even before you were thinking about being a coach, you were just scared of, because, we got to see backstage and hear what people's diets were, you know, the day of the show. And you think, man, that's not even breakfast. And you're talking about a whole day. It was just frightening. So, you know, I know that, you know, it always has mattered to you. And you've been, like I said, you've been outspoken since day one. So, you know, right now, if you could give out your information, so if people are listening and want to decide to try you out and see what you're all about.
Yeah, my website is www.customfitnessbymj.com, and basically have all my information on there. I have my emails on there. That's the best way to contact me, and I check it periodically throughout the day, and I usually return any email, non-client, within 24 hours, and then my clients usually get a return text or email within 1 to 2 hours. So I am very attentive to my clients, and I love being there for them. I love that they trust me. That's the best part about it, you know, is that they express, you know, their trust in me, and they trust me with their bodies, which is huge. And so my goal is to keep them happy and to keep their bodies happy.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I have a funny story, and I get to share it with you because you never got to hear it, but I have shared it with many at my gym, because it just tickled me to where, there's no need for names, and you'll probably know who it is when I start thinking about it, but it was asked, you know, are you mad at them, and were you picking on them because you were always reaching out trying to figure out something? And I basically asked, are you telling the truth? And it was funny, because it was like you said, a real long pause, and I didn't get any message back, and it might have been 3 or 4 hours, and then the person responded, and they said, no. And I said, well, do you think your coach would know that if you're sending pictures and she's doing the prep and basically helping you with your diet, she's going to know how you're supposed to look at a certain time. And you would just consistently keep reaching out, trying to get that information, to like almost like, okay, you became a mother and we're like, okay, tell me the truth now so we can start seeing that progress that you're looking for. And I was just so overjoyed to know that it did matter that much. Instead of just writing them off, you basically dug in deeper.
Yeah, I get people that message me all the time asking about stuff like that, and I am more than happy to give them as much information as I can to help them. You know, I'm not going to say you owe me $100 for this or anything like that. I will help as many people as I can to either get away from a bad coach or see, you know, the truth and everything that's happening to their bodies. You know, I just hate to see people that don't know any better. And that's the scary part about it, is that so many coaches pry on the people that don't know any better and they don't have any knowledge of it. And so they think that they have to do 2 hours of steady state cardio a day and eat 800 calories.
God.
To get lean, and you don't.
No.
So, you know, I mean, I just want to help as many people as I can. I can't That's just how I am.
And, yes. And I got to tell them, I got to tell the listeners, if you get MJ as a coach, don't try to BS her, because she'll see right through it. She's been in the game too long, people. You're wasting your time.
That's right. That's right. I can tell when you're not working hard enough.
And you can spot a Twinkie a mile away, even in an outfit, or they're trying to hide it.
I sure can. I sure can.
Well, MJ, thanks so much for this show. I really appreciate it. And congratulations on the win. And, I mean, kudos for getting those best body parts, because those are things, like, if they stand out, they should stand out even better. And for you to sit there and say, you know, even though it's my dominant body part, I can still do better. And, you know, to be acknowledged for it, that's an awesome plus. So if you want to give, we're going to take this time for you to give the shout-outs and say hi to everybody and all the people that have just been in your corner and just, you know, just helped you stay you. Because, like you said, it's not on stage, it's one person, but there's so many other people involved before you get there.
That's right. Well, I want to thank my sponsor, First Form. I believe that their products have been a huge determining factor in whether or not my body has achieved this level. Their products are just very pure and great. And so I wanted to give them a shout out. My suit sponsor, CJ's Elite Suits. I just got my first suit from her for this show, and I'm pretty excited to rock it. It's awesome. Frank Formatella and Heather Lewis, they are like family to me. Now that I'm doing my own prep, they are my second set of eyes. So they kind of knock me off a ledge sometimes when I get in that crazy mindset. And so I'm very thankful to them for everything. And just all my clients, I mean, they inspire me to be better, if that makes any sense. I just want to be the best role model that I can for them. And I love that they look up to me and that they trust me with their bodies. And I'm very thankful to all of them for their support and their encouragement. It's like a little family to me.
And you made it that way.
I did. And that's kind of how I like it to be, is I really want everybody to feel like they can come to me, and that's a big thing. You know, I want to be their friend, but also their coach, so that they can be real with me and honest with me, and that's going to help them succeed better. So, you know, you don't want somebody beating you down all the time when you fall off the wagon or something happens bad. You need encouragement and support, and someone's going to be there for you. And I'm that person for them, and I'm truly grateful to be able to do that. And I think that's it. I'm just blessed by so many people, and so proud to have all these amazing people in my corner.
And it is a fitness family, you know. People, they almost hate the hashtag if they don't understand it, but we are a tight knit group. And, you know, you've been there for me when I had my issues with the cars and all that stuff and the accident. And it's just a joy to know when you're reaching out, it's not just the cliche monogrammed words. It's with sincerity and like, okay, what do we need to do to get you back in the right mindset? Because I think I had taken a couple of weeks or almost a month away from social media because I was just that down and out. And you were like, no, you're going to call me if you have to call on the phone or we send something in text. You're not just going to sit there and stew like some old muffin. So, if people don't trust your word, I can basically back what you do with action because I know it can be done. And I thank you for that. And just keep being you. I mean, you know, you're a blessing.
I want to thank one more person, if I can. Patricia Payne from Team Hard Buddy. She was my coach for the last 2 years, and she has really taught me a lot, and she's taught me how to learn my own body and learn to listen to it. And I'm forever grateful to her for everything that she's done for me. And she's still a great friend of mine. We still talk every once in a while. And I just wanted to give her a shout out too and thank her for everything. Because there are people that, you know, help you get to where you are, and then you don't necessarily stay in contact all the time, but they've been a part of your journey. And those people are just as important as the people that are still right there next to me, you know? So I you know, I don't ever want to make anybody feel like they aren't appreciated, because that is definitely not the case.
Exactly. And it also, you know, the fact that it's just the family grows every year, and you don't want to miss anybody, but sometimes it's just so many that are in the front right now, or you might have just gotten off the phone with or just been in contact with, and that's the first name that comes to mind. So, you know, it's a thing, and, you know, I've been chided for, you know, tagging people, well, you miss me, and it's like, no, it's not like that. It's basically, you know, it was just the people that I was in the immediate area, so it's not like I was going against anyone. It just, that's just the way it happened to be at that time. But I will get around, and I know that's what you're saying. So, you know,
exactly.
Great job. 12 shows, my goodness, you're busting your butt. And before the show ends, there's one thing I'd like to point out. This is something that I saw in social media on several pages, is that you're announcing where you're going long before you go, because you want people to step up.
I am. I would be happy to post my whole show schedule for this year. And, you know, the more the merrier. I want people to compete. You know, I think we all need to, especially with everything that's going on with the Natty organizations and the few of them that are arguing like they are. I don't want that to hurt natural bodybuilding. And there's a lot of people that I haven't competed against that I would love to compete with and meet and, you know, so I'm definitely pretty excited about the DFAC Buffalo Expo show that's going to be in September that I will be going up there for. Very excited for that one. I haven't competed
in
years.
My goodness. Yeah, that's all for that. I mean, because like it is needed, it is necessary, and we definitely need it to grow.
Yeah, we don't want all the bickering and the fighting to turn people away, and I think, and I'm scared that that's what's going to happen, because there are no clear-cut rules about what Fed wants what and what organization does what and how the drug testing is, and, you know, it's very confusing. So hopefully it kind of calms down here pretty soon. I know it's really not bad for the pros, but the amateurs are dealing with some issues about where their pro card would go if they got their pro card in a certain organization. So hopefully all that stuff will get ironed out soon.
Exactly. But, you know, the competitors still want to compete, and that's what's important.
Right, exactly.
Well, MJ, thanks so much. You know, I love you like nobody's business. Awesome job tonight, and keep being you. I mean, I really mean that, because I love where you're headed. You definitely have that maternal instinct to keep people engaged, ready to improve and wanting to improve. I mean, you also, you know, make a point to stay in contact with the people that trust you and just keep making them want to keep being as successful as you are. And that's the true point of leadership and good guidance. So thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm just, like I said, I'm just happy. Life is good, you know, and I'm very blessed that I get to do what I love and share it with others.
Well, you've done it well, and you've got the awards to show it. And I definitely want to see what that trophy room looks like, because that last one you won, my goodness, I think it's going to take up half the house.
Yeah, well, I got 4 trophies last weekend. So I have them I have a little area in my office that has all my medals and trophies, you know, because as a pro, you don't really get too many trophies anymore. It's more medals because they save the money for the prize money. So it was kind of fun to get trophies again. So I'll definitely send you a picture.
Thank you so much. I'll definitely share it with the Midwest Muscle family. and the P4P family. We'll definitely let people know that it's still some life in the 90 community.
Yeah.
All right, MJ.
Thanks for the interview, Kaylin.
Oh, no problem. You have a great night, lady.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful, wonderful woman. People, I'm telling you, the Nash community has a great foundation, and she's one of them. And, you know, she's real. She keeps herself engaged in her life and basically improving, obviously, by the recent wins, but not just in the winning. Because, like I said, the one thing that really just – there's certain things people do that just can't help but stand up when you listen to them. And one of the things that she did, like I said, with that conversation where it the show really didn't matter because she was more into what she should have done or, you know, thought, tried something new and it didn't work and basically deleting it from her life where it's never going to happen that way again. And, you know, if you're not really understanding what's going on, you might miss how she had truly challenged her mental side as well as the physical side. But the fact that she was willing to do it is what makes her that great person because it did matter. And, you know, I'm not hoping somebody doesn't win because they are better today and I didn't bring my best. I want them to win because that's the challenge I had for myself. And that's what shows champion in life and work anywhere. And she does it. So I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. She did a great job. Just that Dez missed you. Quit your dang Willie Nelson trips, and I look forward to talking with you on Tuesday. We'll be talking with John Jennings. He's out of UFE, one of the promoters, and he's one of the people that's basically trying to bring shows from Canada down to the United States, and they're actually doing a good job of bringing it, but they've also got something that they've actually pioneered, and I want to talk with him about that next show. So if you want to hear about that, stay tuned and we'll talk to you then. But supplement spotlight, I'm still waiting on my shipment of the new product we have, the pre-workout, I can't say the name, but Dad and I have lovingly called it the All Shucks pre-workout, and hopefully I'll be able to speak to you more about it then. But until then, everybody have a great night. Be blessed. We are